to the Pregnancy Without Fear podcast. These podcasts are here to help you minimize your fear of childbirth. Too many women go through pregnancy being worried, anxious, or fearful. Well, I'll be sharing tips with you so you can have the mind of knowing. Did you know that fear is about not knowing? When you know, fear is minimized. It then means you can enjoy your pregnancy, looking forward to your childbirth experience. You are listening to Pregnancy Without Fear podcast with Delia Muhammad. Thank you, listeners. This is Pregnancy Without Fear podcast. And once again, we are focusing on breastfeeding. And today we actually have a wonderful breastfeeding counselor. She's actually a ex-client of mine. She's many years ago, I was actually her doula for one of her children. I think it's her daughter. She'll explain to me afterwards. But just to say that I'm introducing Maria Yasnova. She is a breastfeeding counselor, and she's been a breastfeeding counselor for 10 years. And she is also a lactation consultant. And she's going to explain to us the difference between a breastfeeding counselor and a lactation consultant, but also her role, what brought her into this role of being a breastfeeding supporter to so many mothers around the UK who need that kind of support, who need to know that there is someone there for them when they have issues dealing with breastfeeding. Maria, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, Delia. Thank you very much. And good. Yes, you did play a very important role in my journey, I must say that. And yes, now my son is going to be 13. Wow. This May in this year. And it's probably around about this time, 13 years ago. So around about February, March time, I think I would have gotten in touch with you.
Yes.
And I think we would have had our meeting to meet each other and to see whether we're on the same page about things. And I think we then would have agreed that we'll be together for my special day.
Oh, it's really a pleasure. It really is an honor to be speaking with you again and to actually see that, you know, you've taken on something in the maternity world that quite dear to you as well, isn't it?
Indeed, that's the case. And I think that's the ripple effect. That the women receive that support and the care in their pregnancy, in their birth, and then they go on to then support and offer the same support and care to other mothers. I think that's an incredible chain reaction, and the ripple effect that you could see, the waves of those ripples spreading wider and wider. And I do see that with women I support as well, because they will all come back and they will say, well, how can I give back what you've given or what I've received from your fellow colleagues and breastfeeding counselors and lactation consultants. So it's a very positive movement. It's a very positive energy. And through receiving kindness from other people, you then go on to give kindness. And I think that's the driving force of this world.
So
thank you for that, for being there for me all those 13 years ago.
Oh my word. I feel quite removed by that, you know, because I didn't realize it was that long ago.
I know. It's like we haven't met in person so many times afterwards, but you certainly have been in my heart all these years.
Oh, thank you so much. So tell me, what's the story? How did you become how was breastfeeding a subject for you to say, do you know what, this is what I want to do?
You know what, quite naturally, in terms of I never thought about it as a sort of a job I would ever do. I was in my job involved completely different arena and different industries and things like that before I had children.
Yes.
But having my son really opened a lot of avenues and a lot of hidden kind of passions, I guess. And I realized that doing something worthwhile now is very important to me. It will be time that I'm spending away from my child. So it has to be useful. It has to be somehow constructive and bringing some goodness and changing the world for the better. I mean, I didn't think in that in those terms at the time, but I found an organization called La Leche League,
yes,
Britain, very helpful in my on my journey with my son. And that was the defining moment for me when I felt like, well, actually, I had received so much support from this organization that I really feel that I want to do something like that with and offer this to other mothers.
And how many mothers would you say you've helped?
I would never be able to tell you that. It's very difficult to say. It's really impossible to say. I could probably, you know, look back on my logs,
yes,
and look at, because for every helping situation I offer, we would either have an online log or a paper log. But, you know, it's almost like it doesn't really matter, I think,
yes,
because yes. I have met those women with their first baby, and I've met them with their second baby and the third baby. And sometimes, yes, you know, they come back and then they also offer that support to then another woman and another woman. So I think if I had helped one person and then that person helped two people and those two people helped,
yes,
two people each, you know,
that's,
you can imagine,
right,
how quickly,
right,
the whole ground gets covered. And the support is really that it's widespread. So the organization that I've received a lot of support from as a new mother was the La Leche League Great Britain.
Yes.
And what I quickly realized that if I wanted to do something like that, I could train, I could be trained by them. And then I've actually inadvertently found my way in this amazing world of breastfeeding support, but more so voluntary breastfeeding support, which, as we all know, when you do something for nothing and you give something for nothing, you have an incredibly powerful satisfaction, much more so than when you do something for money.
Yes.
And I felt that that was a very new experience for me, because I haven't really done any volunteering in my life. I mean, I've done odd things, as you do when you grow up, but not really on the level of the world I was entering. So the very first person I helped with breastfeeding, and I remember her like it was yesterday. It was a mother probably 3 days after a C-section, and we
right.
all know what it feels like being on the other end with after a major surgery,
yes,
where the baby is crying, but you can't even reach for them,
of
you
course.
Can't even hold them, so you have to have another person pass the baby to you. So I was at her, I was actually at her house, and she called La Leche League helpline, and I was one of the women answering the phone calls at the time.
Right.
And it just happened that she was a couple of streets away from me, so I just packed my bag and had no hesitation and sort of made my way down to her house. And there she was, and she was in a very sort of low state, and she was in pain, and
mm-hmm.
the baby was, as I said, a couple of days old, and her husband was there, very supportive, but also quite lost and feeling sad and stressed for her as well.
Yes.
Yes. And so I sat with her, and I really just I encouraged her, and I held the baby for her and brought the baby to her side, and she was able to lie down and curl around the baby comfortably.
So that must have been really comforting for her to know that there was someone who would
I think so. I mean again, coming back to sort of what a doula did, you know, what you did for me, what
yes.
a doula can do for a mother, is being that sort of female source of calm and
yes.
reassurance, and just getting that mother to see that things will improve and it will
yes.
get easier. And so the baby then nuzzled and then looked for the breast, and we all kind of marveled at how the baby is able and capable of doing this.
Mm.
And without too much effort on her part, the baby just took the breast and latched on and fed beautifully without causing her pain. And she was still able to be in the comfortable position, so lying down with her, you know, pillow tucked under her head.
Yes.
And nice and cozy in her bed. And the baby then fed and she was able to rest. And that connection just made everything better.
I think that's what's important, isn't it? That mum yes. feels that after, even though you were there to support her, that she felt that, yes, I can do this now, I think.
Yes.
You know, because yes. that's really absolutely. What you want, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. What we do as supporters, we are at our clients and our sort of mothers we support, we're at their service. And I think what really helps me make it work for the mothers is that we are not really, we're not there as our individuals. We're there just to, there for her as this sort of energy of calm and time and space and useful information. Of course, we can share the information and we know that it will be all right and everything will be fine. But just being there as a first instance, just yes. being there for her. And then she will affirm her questions. She will, talk things through and talk through her worries and concerns and wishes and vision, and then she will find her steps forward and she will move on.
That's beautiful. I mean, how is the coaching? Because you do coaching as a breastfeeding coach. How does that work?
Oh, well, that's it's an incredibly exciting project for me. Having been trained as a breastfeeding counselor and lactation consultant, I really felt that my strength really lies in holding space for the mothers. Yes, you can say, you know, I have the knowledge and experience on breastfeeding, and that's wonderful. And that's, you know, so many people do, and books also obviously are all there, but it's just that personal connection that a mother may need to move forward to, you know, with breastfeeding coaching, it's all about talking through your experience, whether you're just preparing to breastfeed and what you're expecting and what your vision is for it and what is your ideal and what's your life is going to be like with that baby, what do you imagine. But right. it also can be a debriefing. It also can be something that, you know, your hopes that you had and the reality and the expectations and sometimes feeling of grief and loss and stress and kind of losing that confidence and trying to build it up and finding those little kind of small but achievable steps.
Yes. Yes.
That the mother can then map out and get closer and closer to where she wants to be. And I think the beauty of this support is that you meet this mother at a very specific stage of her journey.
Right.
And you're not trying to change anything about it. And what you're doing is you're making this stage and that point seem normal and useful and
yes.
a powerful celebration of what she's achieved rather than feeling something's not gone wrong, right, and she's now under a spotlight.
Yes.
And someone's yes. trying to assess what she is doing, whereas actually she continues to be the one who this powerful person who has just given birth and
yes.
has held this baby and is feeding this baby now and is doing, you know, being the best mother the baby may have. So it is a lot about empowerment and encouraging and supporting and holding space and providing time to think, to talk, to cry, to say, well, I wish it was like that. And I,
yes.
you know, this is what I really want. And I will never say, you know, stop, you've done enough, because this is going to be always the mother's prerogative to say that.
That's and right. And the fact that she has to repeat this over and over again, how many
yes.
times in a day and how many days in a week. I mean, it's continuous until she decides not to breastfeed, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's always a journey. And as I always will say to a mother, is that anything to do with breastfeeding, if you're making any changes in any direction, go slowly, tread gently, be kind to yourself, and be kind. You know, be kind to yourself is probably what there is a key message. Whatever the mother is trying to achieve or going through. Be kind to yourself, look after yourself, because without that, it's very difficult to then look after the baby and, you know, do anything else really. And there is absolutely no reason for burning out and feeding through pain and feeding through sleep deprivation and you know, if mothers forget to eat, forget to hydrate, forget to sleep, and then they hit the wall.
Yes.
So it's that self-care and remembering that the baby is not a kind of a challenge. The baby is part of the support team. You know, you talked about hormones in one of your episodes on breastfeeding. And obviously we know that the hormones in mother's body are very much in support of breastfeeding and in support of getting the mother to rest, because the oxytocin and prolactin are actually sending the mother to sleep as sending the baby to sleep.
Yes.
So fighting sleep and trying to stay up upright and awake and kind of trying to battle with it is really becomes a challenge and becomes a very difficult, almost like this obstacle for even breastfeeding. So looking at how you can do it lying down, relaxed, with your eyes closed, hands free, without pain. You know, these are the this is the focus. We're not measuring, we're not judging, we're not timing, we're not tracking anything in the app. You know, we're not.
Yes.
We're switching off our intellect and
just allowing, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that's a real good case for kind of thinking, well, I'm not, you know, so-and-so living in the 21st century. I am a kind of the essence of the mother through the centuries. And I'm one of them who was on this planet, you know, 1,000 years ago. And that's how my great-great-great mother did it, grandmother did it. And that's how I'm doing it. And there's nothing that can be a barrier. And, you know, with support, with love and kindness, from the nearest and dearest, really, you know, the mother can achieve exactly what she wants to achieve with it.
Yes. I think it's what you've just shared there really does hit the nail on the head, because a lot of mothers hopefully listening to this will realize that there isn't any pressure and there shouldn't be any pressure.
Exactly.
And if there is I'm sure you've more likely come across quite a few family individuals that may not necessarily see how breastfeeding can, you know, what you're sharing with us here is really the way, but some individuals may not necessarily see it that way and could be quite pushy.
Well, that's the thing. I think the mother is stuck between the rock and the hard place. So there are two extremes. On the one hand, our society is, you know, it's the public health. So public health and mother has to breastfeed. As soon as you've got a must and a has to and ought to, you are interfering with just a natural flow of what a human body, you know, a female body, does as a function. The breastfeeding or making milk or lactating, you know, creating that food for the baby is a part of fertility cycle. It doesn't stop after birth. The birth then transforms into a feeding state, isn't it? Whereas as soon as you hear you must breastfeed, you know, anything like that may even just kind of cause almost like, well, what is it about it? You know, you can't just dictate to mothers. So it sort of, it puts them on the spot of making that decision.
And then,
so there's on one hand, they're kind of facing that sort of almost like a prescription to breastfeed. To breastfeed, exactly. On the other hand, the very same people who are prescribing breastfeeding, I think, often do not trust breastfeeding themselves.
Yes, that's
so
right.
They may not necessarily trust the body and not trust the mother and not trust the baby.
Yeah.
And then at the earliest, at the first kind of hurdle, at the first little wobble, forget breastfeeding. Forget, stop breastfeeding now. It's not working. You haven't got the milk. your baby is lazy, your baby's not able to do it, and we're just going to move on to something that we can trust because we can measure it and we can
And that it's also about control as well.
Yes, exactly. But it is a blow to the vulnerable mother's sort of psyche, and you know, how no matter how strong she is as a person, having been through the hours of birth, potentially some traumatic experiences, potentially, you know, feeling quite exposed and vulnerable after birth, and then being kind of almost like in a yo-yo situation. Well, there's we're feeding or not, or we're not feeding. Yes. And then we have to do it, but then actually you're not working, your body is not working. Mm. And then it becomes, you know, you often hear the barrage of conflicting information that basically just floods the new family. You hear, you know, again, things about looking after a baby that is, some of it is really kind of either some sort of myths or some sort of really old school information or somebody's personal experience, and then a judgment mixed in, you know, the same mix. Mm. So in a way, I think Delia.
It's okay.
I'm just taking a call. I'll be done in about 10 minutes. Is somebody coming into the room? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Sorry, Delia.
That's okay.
So I found a quiet spot, and now it's a bit. So, so yeah, it's a kind of it's a roller coaster and a whirlwind of information mixed in with obviously all the physical challenges that are happening after birth. Yes. As well. So I think as a doula and or as a support or as a coach, we can create a bit of help the mother build a little bit of a fortress around her and really take a stand and really help her define where she wants to be in terms of what she wants to do and how powerful she is. And if she can establish that, she can move mountains, she can achieve what she wants, she can stand up to any unsolicited advice and information, and she can be that warrior mother, you know, that she probably always imagined herself, and then until it was undermined.
Can I just ask you, Maria, in relation to things like inverted nipples, large nipples? I mean, you know,
I will say, watch your language.
Yes.
Watch your language with the mother. You should, you know, if I spoke to you casually as a health supporter, for yes. any other reason, I would never make a comment on the size of your ears or the space of the eye, you know, between
yes.
your eyes,
yes.
or the height or any other, you know, wonderful and unique characteristics that our bodies may present. Mm-hmm. You know, we celebrate our bodies, yet when the mother presents herself again in a very vulnerable state of pregnancy and expectation of what's there to come, a healthcare professional may volunteer a very unhelpful comment on her body part. Mm. And how many mothers, you know, come across who say, well, actually, I can't really feed on this side because I have flat nipples.
Yes.
Or
a
I'm not
small
even
breast or something.
Or I'm not going to even try because the nipple is inverted.
Yes.
And you know what? And you just see that baby latch on and vigorously get going and sculpt and swallow. And I mean, that's just, it's not the baby defying, you know, mother's predicament. It's just whoever's, you know, prescribed. Again, it's about prescription, isn't it? Somebody has prescribed this mother an experience that they kind of envisaged for her. And I think it's so unfair, and it really isn't really true or has any validity, yet you have taken up quite a lot of precious space in the mother's
yes.
You know, mind and consciousness with this negative and judgmental comment. So I feel very strongly about those sort of the use of language pregnancy.
I am glad you said that, because we do find that as a breastfeeding mother, a lot of the time it's what others feel, what others think. And because baby cannot talk to us and baby's always crying, people just assume that, well, the baby's distressed, and then mummy becomes distressed, and then there's all this distress and there isn't any need for it.
Exactly.
There really isn't any need for it, especially if you do say to a mother, you know, great, you're breastfeeding. And then all of a sudden there's a little hitch. And because of that hitch, we then decide, oh, I think we think, not that what do you think, but we think you shouldn't breastfeed anymore.
So the underlying reason for all of that, and that goes back to the ages, is our living in tribes and living in clans. And when the clan takes charge of the unborn baby and the mother's is assumed as not capable, you know, not experienced, brand new, you know, the elders are going to look after you. And yes, that's just really out of date these days, because the elders that have been maybe taking care of that mother with the traditional rituals and support and nourishing foods and, you know, the full body kind of massage and recovery and all that, they're no longer there. All we have are shadows of those people who, you know, may make an appearance just to see the baby and to hold the baby for 5 minutes, and then they disappear again.
Oh my God, that's right.
Those shadows go away, but the comments that they make are still the same as if they were, you know, 1,000 years ago. I mean, they weren't helpful then, they're not helpful now. And really what we do as supporters, I'm sure you'll agree with me, is we actually empower the mother to just really stand on her 2 feet.
Yes.
And take, and with La Leche League, which is my, you know, very dear to my heart to this day, is what we always say to the mothers is that you take what works for you and you leave the rest. And nobody can tell you how to do your job of being a mother and look after your baby. And
good
that's
advice.
Just, it's just something that is not even, you know, you would never have taken anyone's unsolicited advice about, you know, the way you, I don't know, cook a certain dish. I mean, if you asked for it, yes, but not imposed on you. And now something's changed and you have this tiny little human in your arms and you're all ears and you're sponging on the information. And along with the useful, non-judgmental kind of objective information that you may receive, there will be a lot of subjective and, you know, personal kind of baggage coming in, and that's not something that you even need to pay attention to. So it's that.
Thank you.
Being able to distinguish that sort of the quality of information that you are given.
No, thank you, Maria. That's really lovely the way you explained it, because it is about how literally the words that you use and how you put those words into a perspective where the mother still feels, like you said, empowered. Her, she feels confident. She has a high health self-esteem.
Yeah, so it's very much, you know, we've seen, I'm sure you've come across so many grandmothers supporting your clients. And it's just so nice to see when, you know, somebody's there like, you know, like a helper in the helper's role rather than in a kind of dominant matriarch role where you come to support a woman, and it's her, you know, it's the helpers that speak out, whereas we are actually speaking to the mother herself.
Yes.
Whereas in other situations, the helpers are there and they're bringing water, and they're, you know, they're looking after the space and they're making the space comfortable, but the mother is the one in charge. And I think
that's
so wonderful.
It. Yes, it is. It is. No, Maria, I'm actually going to be kind of slowly coming down because of, I know you're very busy and I don't want to hold you back for too long. And I'm really grateful for the fact that you were able to at least give us a little bit of your time so that mothers can understand that breastfeeding isn't and shouldn't be of any form of pressure. It should really just be them feeling naturally connected and knowing that if there are obstacles, that the obstacles are there for a reason, but also the fact that there are solutions.
Yes,
you know,
there are always solutions. And just one thing to add, I guess, to this sort of part is that breastfeeding can actually heal, and it has a healing effect.
Yes.
If the birth or anything preceding birth or birth itself has become a challenge or a very tough experience. And often that's what and then obviously with the birth there is, you know, nobody can ever predict how it will unravel, but as a there is always that healing that can then happen afterwards, with the mother being able to take that baby and put the baby to the breast and feel like the circle is complete, like everything's fine again, you know. So that's really important to remember. It's not another challenge to battle. It could be a healing opportunity as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Maria. And I'm just going to say to anyone that's listening that we can contact Maria at two websites, and they are the www.breastfeeding.pro and www.mycoaching.london. These are the two links if you want to know anything more about how to be a breastfeeding consultant, how to be a breastfeeding counselor, how to have a breastfeeding consultant or a breastfeeding counselor or coach come to you and support you and give you the kind of, what is really needed to make you feel confident and feel have a better self-esteem, then I would say contact Maria. I think it's something that's needed a lot now, because so many of our first-time mothers, especially first-time mothers, need that little more support. So Maria, I really want to thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I'm absolutely delighted to speak to you, Delia, and absolutely happy to answer any questions if, you know, anything comes up. There's lots. I mean, the world of breastfeeding is big, and there's so many amazing things that we can talk.
Of course. But no, I just want to make sure that we get those links out there so that if anybody just even just wants advice, you know, they can come to you and speak to you and hopefully get your support in one way or the other. All right.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maria. Have a lovely afternoon. It's now started raining, so umbrellas and raincoats out now.
Yes, definitely. Thanks, Julia.
You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Pregnancy Without Fear podcast with me, Delia Mohammed. If you want more information from today's episode, you can find our show notes page at www.pregnancywithoutfear.com. Your vote of confidence and support means the world to me. Thanks so much for listening.